First and foremost, officially from the front, I want to congratulate Matt and Michelle, Pastor Matt and Michelle, for the birth of their son, Levi. So as a congregation, I think we are blessed, and we've added by one, so good one. Also, it's nice to be here today with you guys. I'm afraid usually I'm in Redvers, and it's usually just me doing the worship, so it's so nice to hear the worship team pounding out. Otherwise, it's just me singing, so that's not usually all that great, but the Redvers guys, they try their best to overpower me, so that's good. So, I am here as part of the last pre-Matt return, hopefully, preachers. So, we'll get started. But I'm going to have a bit of a confession. I don't have a clicker there, John. There we go. Have a bit of a confession. My inspiration for today's service comes from a song. And I'm not saying it's gospel, but it touched me in a way that made me stop and think. So I wanted to talk about a song that had some impact on me. And hopefully it has impact on you. It's called It Starts Right Here. It is by Casting Crowns. Now, I'm not going to sing it, for sure, because this mic is really loud. And we're not going to play the video, because that would get us blocked on YouTube and Instagram. So we're not going to do that either. But there is a song that, this song, It Starts Right Here by Casting Crowns, is a song that I want to discuss today. So it goes, we want coffee in our lobby, we watch our worship on a screen, we got rock star preacher who won't wake us from our dreams. We want our missions overseas, but for the hurting in our cities, would we even cross the street? It's got to start right here. It's got to start right now. The first time I heard this, I was like, ooh, that's harsh, like going right at the heart of the issue right off the bat. And so I started to listen a little closer. The first two lines, I mean, coffee and worship, yeah, I get that. It kind of ties to us, but it kind of hits to home because, you know what, we used to do coffee in the lobby, not now because of COVID, we're not allowed, but we used to do coffee, and then we used to do worship on the screen. Then we went live, which was fantastic. Now we're back to worship on a screen. So, yeah, I could see the correlation. Made me kind of perk up and listen because it kind of sounded, kind of had a tie to our church and a lot of churches, right? But the more I listened to the song, the more I started thinking about the message beyond that. I started thinking about it to myself and going, was the band actually speaking about coffee and worship? Or then they got into the preachers about not waking us from our dreams. So were they making a compliment, or were they commenting on a lot of the news that's been happening in some of the bigger churches or little churches where things are happening and the news has taken hold and these churches are maybe not acting so church-like, or people in those churches aren't acting so church-like? Was that the commentary that was happening here? But I had this sinking suspicion the song was speaking directly to me, or I wouldn't have had that kind of reaction to it. So was that song actually speaking to us as a church? That's what I was thinking about when I was getting ready. Was it just my personal message? I have a feeling that the song is slightly towards our collective attitudes. So our first question is, when was a time you heard or read something that made you take a deep look at what you were doing? Now, if you're online, go ahead, put a comment in the message part of the online. If not, just think about it in here. I'm sure that you guys have had those moments where something strikes you and you think, oh, I gotta think about this. I am not sure why this song spoke to me so strongly, So let's go through the lines and take a deeper look at the song. Coffee in the lobby. Well, if you know me, coffee perks me up. Sorry about the pun. But I love my coffee. I also think, though, when they're talking about coffee in the lobby, I had to wonder, I like my coffee. I like a coffee time at church. We can't do that anymore, but I like it. Then I started thinking, is it because the only time I see these people is on Sunday when we have coffee in the lobby? I'm like, okay, that's something to look at. Is it? We like our worship on the screen. That kind of sounds like our church. But why? Why do we like our worship on the screen? Can we put it in the background? Can we kind of ignore it? Does it give us the same kind of emotional reaction as listening to a live worship does? Now, I'm not saying either are bad, but it's just a question that brought up. The next one is, we have rock star preachers. Well, this is the perfect month to ask this question. There's 4 different preachers this month. So, are they rock stars? I think they are. Excluding myself, of course, because I haven't got started yet. So let's hold off calling me a rock star by any means. But Pastor Matt started us off this month with a sermon teaching us to listen to other messages. Makes sense. He wasn't going to be here. But he told us to check those messages. Bring lots of information in and then check it against our gut and the Bible. Make sure what we're listening to is tied to the Word of God. I don't know, maybe Pastor Matt was getting us prepared for what was coming in the month, and he wanted to make sure we were doing the right thing and saying the right things. I don't know. But he was preparing us to how to listen to other influences. And I think as a church, we have tendencies to like who we like and not like who we like. And he was inviting us to bring more messages in, more word, and then balance that with checking. Because we can have inspiration from all different sources. Kind of like the song for me. Then Pastor Louis spoke on Valentine's Day. A job I did not want, by the way. It was offered, and I'm like, no, I think I'm good there. He spoke on love. Not the kind of love that we usually talk about on Valentine's Day. But he talked about love between one another, between Christians. And how that love and the example of how we treat each other is showing others in this world who don't know Christ, who don't know what it's about, how we live. It has impaction because they wonder, how can they do this? How can they live in this harmonious relationship with each other when the world is battling out there? So how we love each other is how we call people to Christ. Brad Weber, from the director of the KLBC, talked to us about the parable of the hidden treasure. That one was an interesting message for me because it led me to a whole bunch of different thinking on that. Would we give up everything for the treasure of heaven? Not only would we give it up, because sometimes I think when asked, we'd all say, yeah, sure, we'd give it up because we know heaven. That's why we're here. That's why we're worshiping God. But would we do it joyfully? Would we gladly give everything up? It was a powerful message to me. And as we discussed it after in small groups and stuff, we broke it out. Because that parable is actually a fairly small parable. So it had a lot of meaning in that short little amount of time. So that was great. But the next line was about that they never wake us from our dreams. And I'm like, ooh. I think the last 3 weeks the preachers have been giving us messages that should wake us from our dreams. They should make us look at stuff. like talking about love and giving up everything and bringing the gospel in from as many sources as we can, it doesn't sound like they're trying to keep us asleep. I think they're trying to challenge us. So, are we waking from our dreams? I think they're trying. But why did this line in this song impact myself? I had to think. Am I living in a dream world? Am I sleeping through life? Am I ignoring something? Was this song applicable in my life? And I'm like, ouch. Let's look at that. I know myself. I have heard a great message preached by a lot of people. And I go, wow, that's powerful. That is a powerful message. Then I put my coat on. I go for lunch. And that's all the thought and action I give to that powerful message. Maybe I am asleep. So this song is now starting to become really hard to listen to. It's starting to really bug me. So what do? I turn it up. The next line is, we like our missions overseas. Okay, now I am mad. I am mad because missions means a lot to me personally. I gave my heart and my life to Jesus Christ on a missions trip. So, how can they be attacking missions? Like, it's not right. Missions are good. It had an impact on my life. I know when I go down on a mission, I get to see Jesus working in everyone around me and get to see Jesus working for the people who are down there serving. How can this be bad? And so this song was really starting to bug me. Like, this is something that has major implications for how I view my life. So I went back again and listened to that line again. They're not saying missions are bad. The songwriter had a different message, I think, there. I think what the songwriter was saying is if you leave your attitude overseas with the mission, it's bad. We need to know more, do more than do missions trips to show the love of Christ to people. Missions are great. It's where I got saved. So I will fight tooth and nail to make missions part of this church. But our missions have to be right here and right now. As a church, we profess that we want to see change in this world. We want to see lives saved, people fed, the hurt healed. And then the song says, would we cross the street in our cities to help the hurt? And I'm like, I'd like to think I would. I think I do. But then why is this line sticking in my head? Why is it challenging me to go on from there? Am I actually being that person that the person who needs help knows I'm a Christian and knows that I am there to help them? Or am I just another person on the street? So that first set of verses has got me pretty riled. Then comes the chorus. It's got to start right here. And it's got to start right now. Now there's a statement. When I've ever heard a statement before that is calling me to action, that is as bold as I've ever seen it in my life. Do I have it starting right here? Have I started right now? This song was calling me out, saying I needed to change. It's like in the Gospel of Mark, where the disciples had just witnessed Jesus heal the sick. He had seen them do miracles. He had seen them feed the 4,000. They were walking side by side with the ever-present power of the Lord. And what did they do when they reached a point where they realized, I am standing beside Jesus Christ? Peter said, when asked, who am I? When Jesus asked, who am I? He said, you are the Messiah. That is something I believe. If you ask me, that is what I think. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. In my life, I have seen God work. I have witnessed transformations and blessings. And I would declare I am transformed. I would, just like Peter. But in Mark, Peter's declaration of faith, Jesus starts to then talk about what's coming next. He is preparing the disciples. And he starts to tell them about how he's going to be betrayed and how he is going to meet his end. And Peter rebukes him. He doesn't want to hear this. Like, this is the Messiah. This is the guy that's coming to save them. Now he's thinking, Jesus is going to lift me from this oppression. Jesus is going to walk in triumphantly and be the guy. He is the Messiah. He is coming to save all. It's Peter's way that he thinks Jesus is here. So he wants it his way. So Jesus rebukes him. He openly spoke about this. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning around and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You are not thinking about God's concerns, but human concerns. This is where I think this song is starting to point things out to me. When they talk about what we're thinking about, are we thinking about human concerns? That is the dream we live in. That is being talked about in this song. That we walk this life with our head thinking about all of the human things that come. How am I going to pay my mortgage? What's work going to be like this week? What am I going to do for fun? And we don't want our preachers to yank us out of that, because that's what we are used to. The disciples have walked with Jesus. They have seen the miracles. And they have to be reminded. They are literally side by side with this man who is the ever-present power of God in him. And they have to be told, stop thinking about stuff that is just here. Stop being concerned for yourself. So, how do we remind us? We don't have the man right beside us. We're not walking hand in hand, seeing miracles. We've seen miracles, but we haven't been the ever-presence of Jesus Christ. I think songs like this, or things that come into your life that reach you, are the Holy Spirit speaking to you. I feel that's what happened here. And the Holy Spirit's saying, it starts right here. It starts about getting out of our comfortable lives and serving others. That's what Christ was calling them to do. We have a very human tendency to find the things that are stable, secure, comfortable, easy to live with. Are these bad things? No, but these are the things that keep us stuck in dreams. Christ is calling to us to a life that is uncomfortable. He is calling us to a life because being uncomfortable is being awake. Just like the song says, pulling us from our dreams. Remember, Christ calls us not for a comfortable life. Then Jesus began to preach. Repent, because the kingdom of heaven has come near. He was walking alone along the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon, who he calls Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting their net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Follow me, he told them. I will make you a fish for people. Then the line, they immediately left their nets and followed him. Let's put this into context. In this world today, this homeless guy, which Jesus was, comes into your place of work and says, follow me. And you quit right on the spot and walk out that door. It seems a little different in today's perspective. Now, they may have heard about this guy, but he was a homeless guy. He was wandering the lands. And they dropped everything and followed him. Now, I'm not telling you to quit work, but I am telling you, you have to look at what you're doing, whether you're making choices based on comfort or not. Now, I can't imagine what Peter and his brother went through, but I don't think they went, woo, let's go. I'm sure their heart was pounding as they made this decision. I am sure their mind was racing, going through all of the things, like, what am I doing? This is crazy. I know I would, so I have to assume they would. But I guess what? I bet you they felt alive at that moment. I bet you they felt wide awake. What is your point of uncomfortable? Where is your line in the sand? It's something to think about. Now, my uncomfortable would definitely be quitting my job and walking out and following a homeless man. I know that. But if I ask myself what is uncomfortable, I realize I have to make a decision. And it starts right here. The best part of that whole section for me in the verse, when thinking about the song, is the part that Peter dropped everything. Think about your lives right now. We live our lives, they're so full. They're so full that we have work, we have schedules, we have ball practice, we have soccer, we have all of this stuff. We're so full that we have to plan a vacation. People don't go on vacation. They plan one. They go and they research it. They see what's the best time of year it is to go on, what fits their schedule. They have to book rooms. They have to book flights. And they go, oh, I know I've done this myself. How am I going to fit this in? Vacation is something I love. I want to do this, and I have to check my schedule. Can you imagine dropping everything and just walking out the door? I can't. You know what? I can probably talk myself out of vacation easier than actually doing it. Because even just this conversation that we're having right now is making me think about what I have to do next week at work. The song is not saying I have to drop everything and drop my nets, but is calling me to be aware. Aware that of those people around us, because our lives are so full that we focus on what's going on in our world. Our world, this tiny little spot. If our time is so full, we can't look up and see what's around us, how can we serve? How can it start right here? We have to take our eyes off our watch and look to the horizon. We have to find those people who need to hear the message of the Lord. There's lots of things that we are taking us away from what we as a church have declared, what Christ has taught us to do. On the walls, we have messages. We declare to be the hands and feet of Christ. We declare that. We don't declare when it works in our schedule, when it fits with our lives, we are to be the hands and feet of Christ. It's got to start right now. Summoning the 12 disciples, he gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to heal every disease and sickness. The names of the 12 apostles were first Simon, who called Peter and Andrew his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John and his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, and James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed. Jesus summoned them, summoned the 12 to send them out ahead and prepare for his way to the entrance of Jerusalem. Now, do you think these guys were prepared? They had spent 3 years walking beside Christ. I am sure they didn't go, yep, we got this, out we go. They had to have been out of their comfort zones. I bet you, as they walked away, being assigned, and Jesus gave them a whole bunch of things to do and not to do. He gave them instructions, but if anyone's ever been through something like that, you know, even with instructions, you still have that thing in your stomach that says, oh, what am I about to do? What am I about to face? I'm sure they had that. But I guarantee you, when they were doing that, they were feeling alive. I know this is a lot for a song to say in a couple lines. We need to be able to listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, my moment happened to be a song, a couple verses. But are you listening to the Holy Spirit? Is he directing you to do something? Are you in your comfort zone? I found this song to give me a commentary on how I was living my day-to-day life. It was a reminder that we can put ourselves first. And by doing so, put ourselves to sleep. To me, Satan has developed a very effective way. Sleeping people don't help a whole pile. The Holy Spirit speaks to us in many ways. It comes to us from unusual places. For me, a song at this moment. It can come to you from something you hear, a message you heard, a book, something. But we have to prepare ourselves in such a way to hear that voice and get out of our comfortable lives. This song is saying to me, it starts right here. But I also think for us, it starts right here in this place. And I think it also starts for us in this community. It starts here. It has to start now. This world is in a place like it's never been before. The Holy Spirit is calling us to start now. And starting our lives, changing our lives, is the way we start now. I hope this has given us some inspiration. I hope that has reminded you to listen to that small voice. And please, look at your life. Look at your life. Look at your time. Look at your schedule. Because I know myself personally, I don't want to be asleep anymore. This world does not need another Christian asleep. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today in awe and wonder of everything you have done in our lives, Lord. We are so thankful for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives and speaking to us, Lord. Today, as we talk about what we need to do, Lord, please prepare us through the Holy Spirit to have the power to help those around us, Lord. Help us spread the gospel. Lord, we know that you are in control, but we also know what the world is facing right at this moment, the pain, the suffering, and what is out there. Lord, we want to be awake and ready to help, Lord. So change our hearts, change our minds, Lord, and have us lift our heads to walk the way that your Son walked, Lord. He sent out people, the 12, to change the world, and they did. Lord, so change us. Change us so that we may help change this world as well. Lord, we call to be your disciples, and that's a big prayer, Lord, but change us. Speak to us. Lord, we pray for this church. We pray for this community. We pray for our individuals. We pray for people that are hurting and are in illness and sickness and depression and all the things that are going on in this world right now. But Lord, please use us to reach those, because that is what Jesus ultimately taught us. Lord, we're so grateful for your sacrifice of your Son, so that we may be able to stand beside you. But Lord, we know we have work to do here. So we do this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.